Hello, and welcome to the Church on the Hill podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, we invite you to join us live this Sunday at 500 Sands Drive in San Jose, California. Visit churchonthehill.com for service times and directions, and also to learn more about connecting, growing, and serving at Church on the Hill. Now let's join lead pastor Scott Simorok as he teaches at Church on the Hill.
Now, something you've all been waiting for. It's been 7 weeks. Returning with resolve, rested and refreshed, a herald of hope and harmonious homilies, witness of the word, shepherd with a servant's heart, swooping in from sabbatical, Pastor Scott Simorok.
I thought I'd start walking up before he kept going because I'm just going to stop him. Like, let's not get ridiculous. I feel like I should introduce myself. Hi, I'm Scott. I'm the lead pastor here, and I've been out for 8 weeks, and it was awesome. I missed you, though, and so it's good to be back. I do want to say thank you. Thank you that you're, wow. All right, see you later. Really?
Hey, Pastor Scott, we hope you had a great sabbatical and you got in those 10,000 push-ups we talked about while you were away. We look forward to having you back. We really, really are so blessed as you take us on our walk with Jesus. You're always so inspirational, always so encouraging, and helping us wherever we are in our walk. So thank you for all you do for the church, and we so look forward to having you back.
Hey, Scott, I just want to say thank you for doing all the things that you do behind the scenes that we don't see. And while you're on sabbatical, we got a little glimpse of that. So I'm super thankful that you're going to be back. So my family and I are blessed to not only have you as our pastor, but also as our friend.
Hi, Pastor Scott. Welcome back. We really miss you. And we know now just how tough your job is. And we hope that you had a good time hunting, and I hope you brought back some deer heads. And welcome back.
Hey, Scott, now that you're back, all the sermons are going to have happy endings. That is, everyone will be happy when you end. We've missed you. Sometimes it's like herding mules instead of shepherding sheep around here. We understand that. We're grateful for the 21 years you've been here. Welcome back. Hope sabbatical was great.
One, two, three.
Thank you, Pastor Scott.
How many elders does it take to equal Pastor Scott?
I would say
at least two.
That's about right.
Well, thanks. Didn't know that was coming, obviously, but thank you. You guys are good. All right, stop it. Thank you, guys. That's amazing. And I'm really grateful to belong to a church that that doesn't revolve all around one pastor. It revolves around Jesus Christ, and every Christian in this church is a minister of the gospel, just like me. We might have different roles, but I'm really grateful that it doesn't all revolve around me. I will say this too, thank you. Being appreciated, it means a lot to everybody. I will say thank you to our team, who kept this thing rolling while I was out. We have a fantastic team, and so hats off to them and just much appreciation for them. So, it was interesting. I think it was week 5 of my sabbatical. I was over in Santa Cruz staying at a little place to get some solitude, but the pastors who spoke, who belonged to Venture Church Network, they were having a retreat over in Santa Cruz too. Well, I didn't register for it, but I heard there was dinner, so I crashed their party. And so I was talking to them, and they all said the same thing. Oh, Church on the Hill was great. For all the guys who spoke here, right? They're like, Church on the Hill was great. They treated us really well, received us, and man, it was so good. And one of them said, yeah, I had people afterwards come up to me just to thank me for being here and saying that was a great sermon. And then someone came up to me and said, I just want you to know, I just love this church. And he was like, well, that's great. How long you been going here? I said, 3 weeks. He was calculating. He's like, I'm the fourth or fifth week. You haven't even met Pastor Scott, have you? Nope, but I love this church. I don't know who that person was. So today, I'm really sorry if I disappoint you and you're looking for a new church, but I'm not sure how that ended well. Or anyways, it's good to be back with you. And thank you to all those pastors who really came here to just deliver. We belong to a great organization called Venture Church Network. Now, a lot of you have said the same thing. How was your time away? Are you ready to come back? So glad you got that time off. That's what you said, but I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, it must be nice. You know what I mean? Like, it must be nice to have 8 weeks where you just kind of shut work down and show up on week 9 and for that kind of a reception, right? I mean, wish I could get 8 weeks off. And I'll tell you this, it's awesome. You should try it. And I want to share some of the wonderfulness with you over the next several weeks. I promise I won't do a slideshow of like, hey, this is week 1 of me in the wilderness. Like, I won't do that. But I do want to share some of what it is that I learned during this time. Let me have you take a look at this real quick. Oh, here we go. I know. I got weak over my sabbatical. This is my life. If you're on the sides, I'll try and like include you in and show you some of this stuff. I think one of the things, I was viewing my sabbatical like this box. This box has clearly defined space and borders and boundaries, and all of my life had to fit into this box. It's like your life, right? Everybody's life, like you can't fit more in it than what the box, you know, has capacity for. The interesting thing about this, I gave up, before sabbatical, I gave up on trying to find the lid to my life, on trying to fit the lid on my life, because listen, it's full. My life before sabbatical was full, complicated, cluttered, a little bit overwhelming, and that's why pastors take sabbatical, to try and, I don't know, organize life. It's just some of the stuff in my box. This is work, right? This is work. It's like the biggest box in my life. It's the biggest thing I try to contain. I have one in here called family. Relationships. Make sure that we're getting time together. Back in here, I put this in here as I have a whole other separate kind of business called coaching that I do. This is also represents the volunteering that I do with Venture Church Network. I'll be on a 3-hour Zoom call with those guys tomorrow. Let's see. I take this to the gym every day. Like, it's just a part of my life. It takes time, and so it's a part of my life, my world. There's a drill somewhere down here, represents just the projects that I do at my house. I'm just skilled enough to be dangerous. You know what I'm saying? And for those things that I'm not skilled enough, praise God for YouTube, right? Fix almost anything with YouTube. I got a box over here just called Amazon. Like, trying to track all the boxes from Amazon coming to our house, right? Daily. I think there were 2 more delivered this morning. Am I right? Hopefully. I've got people. This is family, friends, neighbors, community group. And sometimes that box is so fun, and other times that box is heavy, depending on maybe our relationship or depending on what's going on in their world, that when you're friends with someone, you carry what they carry, and sometimes they carry heavy stuff. I got a box in here called dogs, because sometimes they're great, and sometimes they're dogs. The reality is like, it's just cluttered. And the other is this, like, I realize if I present this as like a difficulty in life, this is a first world life with first world problems, right? Have so much stuff and that it's hard to organize and it feels cluttered. And sometimes life before sabbatical felt a little overwhelming. It's a lot like your life, isn't it? But no worries, because I'm a maximizer. I can handle it. You know what that means, right? When I go on a trip and I take my truck and I go hunting, who packs my truck? I do. Because there is no one else who can pack my truck like I pack my truck. I can fit so much stuff because I have the spiritual gift of maximizing. Oh, there's a corner of space. This can fit in there, right? In my life, I have this spiritual gift to cram so much stuff in there until it's too much. And I've just fit too much stuff in there, and I don't think I'm unique in that. I think you're the same as I am. And so here's what sabbatical is. Sabbatical is the gift of space. I'm sitting behind a tree with bushes around me in the hills of Colorado with no elk around me. That's another story. And I just went, this is space. I just didn't have this in my box, in my life at the time. Here's what sabbatical is. You take this. And for 8 weeks, you set it aside. And you start looking in your life and what it is you have. By the way, the stuff I showed you, that's just a part of what's in my box. There's stuff down in here in the bottom. I'm not even sure what it is, but it's mine. And it occupies some space in my life. But you have a drawer like this at home too, don't you? You're not sure what's in there, and you open it up, you're like, I don't even know what some of this stuff is or how it got in here. You put it in there, right? But you're not getting rid of it, and it takes up space in your life. And sabbatical is this. You set aside the biggest chunk of your life, and you set it aside for this gift of space. Now, here's what's interesting is when you go on sabbatical, you add some things to your life. So I added week one hunting in Colorado. Week two, I was home. Week three, I was in Florida to do a wedding. We went to our niece's wedding. So fun, beautiful. I got to officiate part of it. Really great. Then flew from there to Phoenix, got in a truck with my son. We drove back to Colorado and hunted for another week. The first 4 weeks of my sabbatical, I was like, what just happened? It was half over, and all I had done was traveled, and so that went in my box. But here's what's interesting. A pastor's on sabbatical. I think we all feel this. I definitely feel this. I want to make sure that I get time in God's word. Like, not the same time, better time, longer time, more time to read and learn, and not for God to tell me what to tell you, but what God might tell me for me and even my family. And so, you know, I put that in there, and, you know, that's the first thing I tried to put in there. Oh, yeah. The thing that I didn't plan on putting in the box was week two, I had been home one day from hunting, and my wife calls me. And she says, I'm okay. By the way, the phone call is never good when it starts that way. I'm okay, but I was in an accident. She was driving in the Target parking lot, and I didn't know that the Target parking lot could be that dangerous. And someone at 25 miles an hour just drove right into her door. And gave her a concussion, and found out a couple days later, yeah, your car is totaled. Did I mention they're in a parking lot? I mean, how do you total a car in a parking lot? So after the car wreck, I got to figure out how do we get that towed, how do we deal with the collision company, insurance. Woo, that was fun. And then how do you find a new car? That's misleading, a new used car. That took me 4 weeks to figure that one out. By the way, there are only a couple places in the world where I am mean. I don't mean to be, but a car lot with a car salesman and negotiating that, it's just there's something about the whole experience. I hate it. If you're good at it, you can do it for me next time I buy a car in about 12 years. And then all joking aside, we had something else put in our sabbatical. And October 7th of this year, Kelly's dad went to be with Jesus. We were praying for that to happen. He had Alzheimer's, and he had been in a memory care facility for about 3 years. And we've been praying, and if you've dealt with a loved one who has Alzheimer's, you get it. You're like, God, their life would be so much better with you. And he was a great husband, a great dad, a great pop-pop to our kids. And he had just, you know, this year become a great grandfather. We're so blessed. But it was the unexpected thing that got put in to this sabbatical, this season of rest. It's funny, now that I look at it with all the extras that got put in there, it felt a little chaotic, and it felt a little bit cluttered. And I will say this, my sabbatical was awesome. It was restful. I'm grateful for it. It was not what I was anticipating. So I sum up my sabbatical this way. I'm so glad that God gave me that time off so that I could step in here for my family and be just present with them and handle some things, because I can't imagine how this would have fit in there with all the things that got added to it. All that to say, God taught me something, because what I was looking for is a way to organize my life how I wanted it organized, or how God wanted me to organize it, so that there'd be more peace there. Now, I have a really good friend. Some of you know her. She writes books about living a clutter-free life. Nothing wrong with that. Some of us need to declutter our lives. But I want you to hear this. If you're just trying to organize your life so you have more peace, that's actually a method of control. You having control over your life. And here's what I learned during my sabbatical. It's not about the space. Having a less cluttered life is awesome, but it's not about the space. I'm going to show you where I learned that from. Psalm 23. Open your Bibles. Grab your notes. I want to take you through a little bit of a journey that I went through during my sabbatical so that you can get this. And as you're opening up, I will tell you this, as you're finding Psalm 23. Next Sunday, there's going to be a guy here teaching in my place. His name's Steve Dang. He's the chief ministry officer and the executive vice president of Valley Christian Schools, and he's a good friend of mine. So Steve's going to be here teaching. Here's why. My family is going to go down to San Diego, and I'm officiating Kelly's dad's memorial service, his celebration of life. And so sorry to come 1 week and be gone the next. Apologize for that. A little bit beyond our control. I know you understand that, but man, we have a great pastor coming to teach next week. All right, you have Psalm 23. You ready? You have Psalm 23? This is still a church that opens their Bibles, right? Okay, thank God. It's like, man, we're going to have a lot of work to do if that changed. Here we go, Psalm 23. You ready? It starts this way. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. I want to pause right there for just a minute. What is it that this good shepherd's doing? It's this illustration that there's this shepherd who is God. And then later on in John 10 in the New Testament, Jesus says this, I am the good shepherd. Psalm 23 and John 10 are directly linked. So it's okay to say, like, interpreting the whole Bible when it says, the Lord is my shepherd. It's okay to say, Jesus is my good shepherd right here. What's he doing for us? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. What's he giving you? Fill this word in, abundance. Some of you are thinking, man, if I could just have more, if I could have the resources I need, if I could have abundance, I would have more peace in my life. He makes me lie down in green pastures. So there's this shepherd, and the illustration that he's leading these sheep, and he makes the sheep lie down in green pastures. What's that about? You might think, oh, green pastures, it's the sheep that are eating the grass. No, he doesn't say feast on the grass. What does he say to do in the grass? Lie down. It's about rest. And I know some of you think this, man, if I could have rest, just more, and it might not even be like sleeping rest. For some of you, it is sleeping rest. But for some of you, it's like, I just need rest in my relationships. I need rest to the conflicts. I need rest in just my own spirit. I just need, if I could have more rest, man, then I would be at peace. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. What is that? I'm in Colorado and I'm driving on a road, and parallel to the road is this river. And there's a couple spots where there's some white ripples, a little bit of white water. And as I turn the corner, I see this. There's this white water, but then it spools around in this eddy. You know what I'm talking about? And in the eddy is where the calm is. And I look and there's a ranch right there, and they have this cattle fence that literally comes down into the river, into the calm area right there, like 25 feet out into this calm river, and then the fence comes back up. And I was like, how awesome is that? Their fence is designed to give their sheep, their cattle, a peaceful place to drink. Can sheep swim? They can swim. But if you have a sheep that hasn't been sheared and all that wool, by the way, look it up on YouTube. There's some great videos. If all that wool gets in the white water, in the turbulent water, that sheep is dead. He leads me beside quiet waters is about protection. He refreshes my soul. You know when your soul feels refreshed? You feel strong. It's about strength. And he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. You know what I think that is? Let's just write the word answers. And some of you, you're looking for peace. And you're like, listen, the good shepherd, if he would just give me answers, I got questions. And I'm not talking like, oh, you got questions about the Bible. Like, you got questions about your life, your relationship, your finances. You just have questions. You're like, God, what do I do next? If God would give me answers, then I would have peace. So I have a question for you. Out of everything listed in this verse, what sounds the most attractive to you right now? What do you want? Think about it in these terms. What do you think? If you had this, that the Good Shepherd's offering, what would give you peace? This is not a rhetorical question. I really deeply want you to think about this. Write it down in your notes. Circle one of them. Which one of those things, if God would just give you that, then you'd be happy. Then you'd be at peace. Then your life would be a little less chaotic, a little less cluttered, and you would sense that God was near you. Here's what I think. I think it's a little bit of a trick question. Because we can read Psalm 23 and everything the shepherd gives to his sheep, and it can lead us on this misguided journey where we are pursuing and we're chasing after abundance, rest, protection, strength, and answers. If I had all that, then I surely would have peace. And here's what God showed me during my sabbatical. The peace and the rest that I seek is not dependent upon my environment. The peace and the rest that I seek is not dependent upon what's in this box called my life. Because some things I have control over and some things I don't. And no matter how much I try to organize this space, and by the way, that's just being a responsible adult, right? Is organizing this space and making sure that our lives are not too overwhelming, not too cluttered. But there's some stuff that comes our way that we don't get to choose whether it's in our life or not. You want to know what the true gift of Psalm 23 is? It is not all the things that the Good Shepherd brings us. The true gift of Psalm 23 is the shepherd himself. Go back there and take a look at it for just a minute. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes, he leads, he refreshes, he guides. What's it about? It's about the shepherd. It's not really about the sheep. That's secondary. You see, do you really want the gifts that God will give you, or do you want a relationship with the gift giver himself? People have asked me, so are you ready to go back to sabbatical? Or, well, you say it this way. Are you ready to come back from sabbatical? Sorry, maybe that was a Freudian slip of the tongue. Like, I might be ready for another sabbatical. are you ready to come back? I'm like, sure, kind of. Because my going into sabbatical, I'm like, man, this is going to get so organized and I am just going to be a wealth of spirituality when I come back. Why are you laughing at me? Because you know me. I come back with the good shepherd leading the way. And that's enough. Is my life perfectly organized? No. Did I have the deep spiritual times that I was anticipating and hoping? Sometimes. Sometimes it was just heartache and crying on some days. But here's what's interesting. Whenever you read something in the Old Testament, you got to ask yourself, did Jesus ever speak to that? Can I tell you how Jesus spoke to this? Just listen to this for a second. When it comes to abundance, in Mark 16, Jesus tells this in the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and your body more than clothes? He's like, I know it's cluttered with a bunch of stuff, but don't worry about it. He goes on to say this, here's the thing to pursue, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What do you want to pursue? The good shepherd. What does it look like to live in his kingdom with him leading you? When it comes to rest, Jesus said this in Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That's a promise from Jesus. If you stay in step with him, follow him, come to him and say, God, this is the life I have. Can you do something with it? He'll say to you, rest, my son. Rest, my daughter. I've got this. When it comes to protection, in John 10, he says, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And that primarily means this. He's talking about his death, that I'm going to lay my life down so that you can give me your sins. I'm going to die on the cross for your sins. You can believe in me and accept this gift of forgiveness, and you're going to get a relationship with God where he's your good shepherd. When it comes to strength, later on, Paul would write this. He'd say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, don't misinterpret that. People abuse this verse all the time, like, I can do anything I want because God will equip me for that. No! He'll just empower you and strengthen you to do the things that he's calling you to do. Which is a good reminder. God, is everything on my box the things that you want here? Or do you want me to do something else? Or do some things need to go? When it comes to answers, here's what's so interesting. If you go back to John 10, this whole illustration of the good shepherd and the sheep comes up again. It says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. You want answers in life, I'm just telling you this. You just got to travel with the good shepherd and listen. It goes on, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he's brought out his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. And I think those sheep find peace and rest. This gift that God gave me during my sabbatical is a reminder that when I have him as my good shepherd, I'm ready to come back. And that was the reminder that I needed. My life might not be perfectly organized or what I thought it would be stepping back in, but that he's got my back and he's got my front and he goes before me and behind me and he's with me. And who needs to hear that today? Because if you're thinking, yeah, wouldn't it be nice to have a sabbatical? I think it's the wrong question. Wouldn't it be nice to have a good shepherd who goes before you, who will lead you to a place of rest, who will protect you and look after you? It's interesting, when he came to the earth, it describes how he saw the crowds. Listen to this. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Isn't that an interesting illustration? Written by Matthew, not John. You can always tell the harassed and the helpless people. You know this, right? Because they're angry. And they're frustrated. And they're depressed. I'm not saying that depression, like, that means you're a bad person. And I know there's a clinical form of depression. But there's some people who just walk through life without joy. Our world is so broken that it has put an anger and a frustration and a depression on people. If I can be honest with you today, which I always will be, it has seeped into the life of churches through Christians that are angry, that are frustrated, that are depressed because they don't stay in step with the Good Shepherd. And I'm not saying life is always easy, but I'm just saying this. If you are angry, depressed, frustrated, my invitation to you is get to know your Good Shepherd, because the church should be a place of joy and a place where rested people rub up against each other. We're a place where people find they have peace and they express peace to each other. And even when there's disagreement in the church, that we express it with love, mercy, compassion, care, and peace. Amen? Then why isn't the church that today? It's because there's not enough Christians who are walking with their Good Shepherd. I love this. When I come back to the psalm, and that the Lord is my shepherd, he makes, he leads, he refreshes, he guides. But you know what's interesting? The whole psalm comes to a screeching halt after those three verses. It says this, even though I walk through the darkest valley, verse 4, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Some translations read this way, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. How many of your translations read that way? Maybe? Yeah? That's what my family's going through right now. You see, it's not the valley of death where you have died, or it's the valley of the shadow of death. Someone else has died, and you're walking through the shadows of that. That's what we're dealing with. So grateful for Kelly's dad and his life. Such a blessing. We're going to have a great celebration of life next Saturday. But we're grieving. We miss who he was to us. And so we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and his promise is this: he will be with us. And it says this, his rod and his staff, they comfort us. You ever thought about this? You ever read the Bible and just start asking questions like, why this shepherd got two sticks? He got a rod and he got a staff. Do you know the difference? The rod is not intended for you. The rod is intended for your enemy. The staff is intended for you. The rod is a thick piece of wood, more like a club than anything. It's meant for your protection, that when your enemy comes near to defend a sheep, this shepherd, I mean, I don't know if you've seen pictures of Jesus as the shepherd. He's kind of this gentle little guy. Somebody living out in the wilderness like that, like, yeah, I got my rod. Bring on the bears and the lions. Like, a shepherd is a guy who's going to fight for his sheep, and that rod is to defend. Some of you have said silly things like this. Yeah, when God needs to get to my attention, he's got to hit me over the head. Like the rod was intended for you. Maybe you need to hear this. The rod is not intended for you. It's intended to defend you. The staff is what you would think of more as, like, you know, that long, skinny piece of wood with the crook at the end. It's to guide you. It's that tap, tap, tap on the sheep's that says, no, not that way, this way. And when the sheep keeps walking towards harm, it hooks them around the neck and he pulls them and guides them. His rod to protect and his staff to guide are the things that comfort us. And this, by the way, this psalm will end here. It gets actually even more threatening. Listen to this. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my friends and family. You prepare a table before me in the presence of all those people who love me. It's not what it says. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. What is the table that he prepares? I think he steps outside of this sheep shepherd illustration and he's like, let's change the illustration. I'm gonna prepare a table before you and it's a feast. Why don't you sit down? There's a chair for Jesus and there's a chair for you. Spend time with him and feast on who Jesus is. He's like, by the way, the table has enemies all around you. And we're going to cover this in the weeks to come. You can pay attention to your enemies and focus on them. Or you can pay attention to the invitation that Jesus gives you to sit with him. Some of us are spending so much time on the hardship and the enemies and the people that encircle us that are not good for us, that we don't want to be with. And we forget daily to sit at this table that Jesus has invited us to and to be with him. Jesus actually promises us in the Gospels that our life will be tough. He says this, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace." There it is. "In this world, you will have trouble. Take it to the bank. It's a promise from Jesus. It's going to be hard because I set your table in the presence of your enemies." We'll talk about why in a couple weeks. But he says, "But take heart, I have overcome the world." So let's wrap up with this. What do you want to do with all this? Your peace is not dependent upon all this. This can help, but it's dependent on the fact that you're sitting with the good shepherd, that he's your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. That's how Psalm 23 starts. And you might say, he's everybody else's shepherd, but is he your shepherd? Can I give you some suggestions on next steps? Here it is. One, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, the first thing is this, accepting the invitation from Jesus to be your good shepherd. It's about your salvation. He died so that you could give him your sin and he could give you forgiveness and relationship with him. And if you haven't accepted that, that's the place to start. Second, maybe you're a Christian. Can I just invite you to do this? Would you prioritize time with your good shepherd as the first thing you put in your box? Monday morning, y'all have a decision about what this box looks like. You want to start it with the good shepherd? Or you want to start it under your own strength? I know some of you are like, I'm a nighttime person. I'd rather do that at night. Listen, I'm not legalistic about when you do it, but man, I want to start the day listening. Listening to the one who wants to guide me away from harm and into things that are good, the abundance, the rest, the peace. Maybe some of you are already doing that. Can I invite you to maybe do this? Ask him, hey, God, this is my life right now. What do you want it to be? Feels full. Feels cluttered. I'm not sure I have a lot of peace at this. So God, what do I need to take out? And what do I need to put in? What if you asked him that? Because the one defining mark about the sheep and the good shepherd is that those sheep hear his voice and they listen to him. Which leads us to the fourth step. And you don't have, it's not all four of these, but maybe it's just one today that God's inviting you to take is, then follow him. Obey him. Do what he tells you to do. Follow the voice of the good shepherd, trusting he's leading you into a life of peace. We don't teach the Bible for knowledge. We teach it for life transformation. And life transformation always asks this, what's your next step? What's he inviting you to do? I'll just remind you this final truth that sums up the entire day, this whole message is that true peace comes not from our environment, but from following the good shepherd. That's truth. So we're gonna do this. We're gonna pray. Whatever your next step is, if it's to become a Christian today and you're gonna accept this invitation to have Jesus become your shepherd for the first time, I would invite you to do that and share that with somebody. Whatever your next step is, I want you to pray about that. And I also, I want us to collectively pray for a family. Hang with me. There was a pastor that was supposed to come and preach at our church, but he had to cancel. His name's Tim Swanson. He's a friend of mine. He pastors north of San Francisco. Great church. Long story, I'm going to keep it very brief. Several years ago, Tim had an operation. But what that did was it caused a blood infection in him. There's literally a fungus in his blood. And it took him like a year to recover from that. And they thought he was all good until August of this year. And it came back. And it has been life-threatening for he and his family. And so this morning, I would love to pray for Tim and Elisa Swanson. That's their names. Tim and Lisa Swanson. I just want to pray for them. They've made some progress. I got a good report this last week. But in his words, he's like, we are not out of the woods. Would you pray for healing and strength and comfort? Because it has been a hellish season on their family. All right, you got their names? So if you need to write them down, because I would love it if we would pray for them today, as well as would you take this throughout your week? I'm going to be on a call with him tomorrow, and so I'm going to check in on him But Tim and Elisa Swanson, and you're like, hey, I got people that we could pray for too. Hey, let's pray for them. We're going to pray for the one the way we wish we could pray for everybody. But yeah, ask other people to pray for your family and friends who are going through something. All right, let's bow our heads. Let's pray. The first thing I want you to pray for is, what is your next step? I'm just going to pause in the silence of this. You pray. Your conversation with God needs to be true, but it has to be personal. What's He calling you to do? God, would you bring conviction on us about what it is you want us to do? Not condemnation, because condemnation is a weight that we can't carry. Condemnation is bad. And we know this, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But conviction is what a clear next step is. So God, give us courage to take that right now. And Lord, we lift up Tim and Elisa to you. Would you heal his body, God? Whatever should not be in his bloodstream, would you clean that out? Lord, if you want to give the doctors wisdom to figure that out and fix it, then God, would you do that? If you want to confound them and keep them confused as they currently are, and you would supernaturally heal him, we would praise the name of Jesus for that. We know you can, and we're going to trust that you have them, that you have good in store for them. God, would you be their good shepherd today? And Lord, I know that for some in this room, they're thinking of their own family and friends and the hardships in front of them. And Lord, I just collectively lift them up to you. We pray for your goodness in their lives and the healing that needs to happen, the restoration if there's brokenness there, God. And so today, Lord, thanks for bringing us together. Would you be our good shepherd as a church, God, and lead us into a good future? And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.